You are listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
This network is supported by our listeners. You can become a supporting member by going to archpodnet.com/members and signing up. As a supporting member, you have access to high-quality downloads of each show and a discount at our future online store, and access to show hosts on a members-only Slack team. For professional members, we'll have training shows and other special content offered throughout the year. Once again, go to archpodnet.com/members to support the network and get some great extras and swag in the process. That's archpodnet.com/members.
This is episode 195. For the 14th of July, 2017.
On today's episode, Chapter 15, Smithsonian Trinomials, from the Field Archaeologist Survival Guide, Getting a Job and Working in Cultural Resource Management. All right, Chapter 15, Smithsonian Trinomials. The first site I worked on with a site number that I was aware of was 8MD1. I didn't realize the significance of that site number until I learned about the Smithsonian Trinomial System. For a group of people, archaeologists, that are obsessed with history, it's pretty cool knowing that you're working on the first site to have either been identified or at least given a site number in that county. It's also pretty daunting to know that you're working on the 15,000th site identified in a county. It always amazes me when people rattle off site numbers for a project and they have no idea where they came from. Whenever I get the chance, I explain the site number to people and most are surprised at how much information you can get from one. Many states use a standard convention for numbering archaeological sites. When I first saw one of these site numbers, it looked like an indecipherable string of numbers, but with an underlying structure that I just couldn't make out. There's a good chance that you've either already been exposed to these numbers, or that you will be soon. These are called Smithsonian Trinomials, and they look something like this. 26WA 12477, 9PM 201, 23AR 9236, 32GNA 3476, and so on. Breaking down the trinomial. The word trinomial means three parts. You may remember learning about binomials in math. Wait, don't put the book down. I won't mention math again. The first number represents the state. The state numbers run from 1 to 50. The District of Columbia, American Samoa, the Federated States of Micronesia, Guam, the Marshall Islands, the Northern Mariana Islands, Palau, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands do not get a number. Who knew we had so many territories? The numbers mostly run in alphabetical order. The exceptions are Alaska, 49, and Hawaii, 50. They weren't states when the system was devised. The letters are a two-digit code, sometimes three, for the county. On site records and site reports, these letters are sometimes capitalized, and sometimes only the first letter is capitalized. There doesn't seem to be a consistent practice of using either one. Finally, the third part of the trinomial is the site number, sort of. The entire trinomial is actually the site number. The number at the end of the trinomial represents the number of the site in succession with the rest of the sites that have been reported in that county. For example, a site number of 9PM201 means that the site was a 201st site in Putnam County, PM, Georgia, 9, to be given a site number. History and development. The Smithsonian Trinomial Number System was devised and perfected over a number of years by the Smithsonian's River Basin Survey, or RBS. The RBS operated in a number of states and needed a comprehensive system of designating new sites. The RBS started in 1946, and by the end of fiscal year 1947 in the Missouri Basin, 376 sites in seven states had been recorded. Paul Cooper, an RBS staff member, was instrumental in devising the first incarnations of the system between 1946 and 1947. The early system was based on an even earlier system that was used in Nebraska during the 1930s for Works Progress Administration, or WPA, projects. Other states were using a similar system to Nebraska for WPA fieldwork, but none were identical. Carl Miller, also an RBS staff member, added county codes for several southeastern states in 1958. He was following some state universities and historical societies that had already incorporated the county code. Although the RBS program ended in 1967, individual state historic preservation officers continued to assign site numbers based on the Smithsonian Trinomial System. Now, many states issue site numbers using that system. A lot of spatial data can be determined just by being able to decode the Smithsonian Trinomial. Think about it. Without knowing anything about a site, you can narrow its location down to the county level in a matter of seconds. Other systems. California. The system in California is similar to the Smithsonian Trinomial in that it is a trinomial and incorporates the county and a sequential site number. Instead of the two-digit state number, however, California uses CA. Also, they use a three-character county code instead of a primarily two-character convention. Otherwise, the entire trinomial looks much like the Smithsonian version. New Mexico. New Mexico uses the University of New Mexico's Laboratory of Anthropology system. Some agencies, however, still use the Smithsonian system. Find out what systems the project you are on is using. Summary. The Smithsonian Trinomial System is one that most archaeologists have used to number sites across the country. It has a long history and will likely continue to be used for a long time to come. And again, that was Chapter 15, the Smithsonian Trinomial System, from Field Archaeologist Survival Guide, Getting a Job and Working in Cultural Resource Management by myself, Chris Webster, Rutledge 2014. Find a link to the book in the show notes for this episode. Thank you. That's it for this episode of ARC 365. Please share this episode on your social media sites so others can have fun and learn about archaeology too. Please consider a donation to ARC 365 by sponsoring an episode for just $35. You can find the sponsor page at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/sponsor-ARC365. Thanks and have a great 2017 with the Archaeology Podcast Network. The song Storm Diggin' was written, performed, and recorded by Steve Webster. This show is produced by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle, and was edited by Chris Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.